and wanted to forgive me. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you can't wholly follow the Lord. You may try all you want. Going to church won't wholly follow the Lord. Giving in our offering and the tithes, praying, reading your Bible, you can't follow the Lord unless you know Jesus Christ as Savior. He reminds us that He is the Good Shepherd and His sheep hear His voice and know it. We'll talk a little bit tonight about antichrists, those who are against Christ, deceiving us. But the reality is we can follow Christ, but I first must need know Jesus Christ as Savior for my sins. Caleb, he wholly followed God. But it started at a point in his life. It doesn't have to start as we're adults. Maybe you can look back and see the time in your life when you trusted Christ as Savior. Have you been wholly following the Lord? We're talking about camp and preparing our juniors and our teenagers to go off to summer Bible camp. Yes, there's a lot of fun. There's the zip line and the climbing wall. There's a 22 range all sorts of fun stuff. There's the lake and the swimming and they have a blob yet been there and the blob on the lake. And you want to know about that, ladies? Maybe they'll have the lake open in September. I don't know. All sorts of creative and exciting outdoor activities and indoor things if it rains. I know there's board games we've played up there before and all sorts of exciting opportunities at camp. But we don't want our juniors and our teens to go to camp just to have fun. We want our juniors and teens to go to camp and have fun so that when they come to the preaching time, that their hearts are tendered so they will wholly follow the Lord. Some of you maybe had an opportunity to go to Bible camp when you were a kid or a teenager and you remember some of those things. I remember some of those messages that God worked in my heart and man, I remember just the conviction that God had brought upon my heart that I need to wholly follow the Lord. It doesn't take going to camp to wholly follow the Lord. It doesn't take simply having special evangelistic meetings like we had this last spring with Evangelist Maynor to wholly follow the Lord. This is a commitment you and I must make every day as we get out of bed. Today, God, I will wholly follow you. And we'll look at some of the requirements, some of the aspects of this in just a second. But this word wholly means entirely, completely, totally. That all of me would follow God. Yes, that means my heart. Yes, that means my Sundays, but it also means my Mondays and Tuesdays and every other day that ends in Y. It means every part of my life. It means my entertainment. Is my entertainment wholly following the Lord? Is it okay to be entertained and enjoy things? Yes, we talked about that last Sunday, even as we were looking at Joshua 13. But it must be that which wholly follows the Lord. And you and I must filter everything we do through the Word of God because it's our desire to wholly follow the Lord. Number one, wholly following the Lord has a past. It has a past. And we see that in Caleb's life. Look at verse 1 of chapter 14. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for an inheritance to them. Remember last week in Joshua chapter 13, we talked about the inheritance. And that there are so many blessings that they've gotten, they've received, but as well us as believers who know Christ as Savior. Verse number 2, by lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of 2 tribes and a half tribe on the other side Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. And so we end with that idea. And as they're dividing the land, here's another man that comes up to Joshua. He's a man who's about as old as Joshua. In fact, we can say with confidence that Joshua and Caleb are the oldest men in the children of Israel at that time. Why is that? Well, you remember as they wandered that many died. In fact, no one over the age of what could enter the promised land? 20, right? And so they couldn't enter the promised land because of their disbelief. They didn't believe God could bring them in. Because many years ago, and Caleb goes back and refers to this, that 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan, right? 10 were bad and 2 were good. I mean, man, some saw giants big and strong. Some saw grapes in clusters long. Some saw God was in it all. 10 were bad and 2 were good. There were only 2 that believed God was in it. Joshua and Caleb. And God said, because of your belief, you too will enter the promised land. In fact, Joshua, as the leader, following Moses in this step of leading the nation. But Caleb, just because he wasn't the leader, didn't make him less of a man of God. God had different ways he was using him in his life. And here, Caleb has come to Joshua. Not that Joshua needed a reminder of who he was, because those two men stood alone, not just against the 10, but against the entire nation of the children of Israel who disbelieved God. They did not believe that God could bring them in through this land of giants. Caleb refers to that. Look at this. Wholly following the Lord as a past. Verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Wholly following the Lord has a past. We think about that. As we look at our main points today, we'll see different verbs. The first verb that we look at is wholly following the Lord has a past. The word has is a state of being. It's a condition. It tells that something exists. There was a past here. Caleb had wholly followed the Lord. There was a past in this. It began with a commitment. And in your and my life, we see it begins with a commitment. First, as we already talked about salvation, Acts 17, verse 16. I find it very interesting. And we see this word holy again. Acts 17, turn there with me real quick. Acts 17, verse 16. If you remember this passage, the Apostle Paul is in a city. In fact, verse 1, it says, now they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 days' reason sat out of the Scriptures. They go through this city. And he leaves and he goes to another city, all on his own. Verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in them when he saw the city was, there we see that word again, holy, completely, totally, given to idolatry. Those who rejected Christ. In fact, they worshipped and served so many gods, false gods, that they had set up even an altar to the unknown God. It's very interesting. I was reading from an article yesterday about ancient Egyptian religion. And it was interesting to see that it's been pointed out that they had some, if you will, seeds of the gospel. Now, they didn't have the gospel. But as we look at the Egyptian religion, we see that they realized they were sinners. In fact, many of them were actually searching for how to have a blissful afterlife and trying their ways. And it was interesting, as this article pointed out that Kim Ham wrote, the reality that they were looking. There was some ideas that there's got to be something. And as we see this city here in Athens, given to idolatry, they realize there's something, even this altar of the unknown God. There's something. There's got to be an answer out here. And there is. It's found in Jesus Christ. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that includes all. Each one of us in this room. Each one who's out in the road area, each one who's in the state of Michigan, each one in the United States, each one in the world, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no hope in ourselves. But Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his love. How did he demonstrate that? By sending his son, who made us, to take on a body like ours, Philippians 2 talks about, and come to the point of being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The only hope for life and eternity is found in Jesus Christ. And wholly following the Lord has a past. It means it begins somewhere. I was 4.5 years old when I trusted Christ as Savior. How about you? Maybe you were a child. Maybe you were a teen. Maybe you were an adult. Young, older, it doesn't matter. You can be saved. But maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Wholly following the Lord doesn't have a past for you, but it can start today. And today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. It begins with a commitment. Wholly following the Lord has a past. It's interesting, Caleb, as he wholly followed the Lord in the past, he followed with other believers. Now, there weren't many. In fact, we see the only other of the 12 spies that went was Joshua that believed God could do it. He believed God could do it. Numbers, turn back to the book of Numbers. We see this incident here. Numbers 13. Numbers chapter 13. Begin reading with me as we look at verse number 1. Numbers 13:1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were the names of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zachar. Of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Ashia, the son of Nun, or Joshua. And we can continue reading these down. Verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up, and we could continue reading that. We won't do that here in this section. But look down then. This is the background where they are. They're going into this land. What are they looking for? You continue on reading and you see what they saw. The big grapes, the big men, the giants there, the Anakims. But in chapter 14, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Why? Because some of them said, this is bad news. We look back in the end of chapter 13. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. That's pretty small compared to other men, huh? And so they're scared. They're telling these other people. The people are weeping in chapter 14. Verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Caleb is not standing alone in this process. He's standing with other believers, with Joshua specifically. Moses and Aaron had just finished weeping up in verse 5. And we see here they are going through this process. We can take this not because of us, but by God. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. They knew they could go in with God's power and take the land. Now, we've been studying the book of Joshua, and we know they did it by God's power. And here, Caleb is remembering he has wholly followed the Lord, and it's had a past. The congregation of the children of Israel, they did not wholly follow the Lord. They didn't believe he could do it. They doubted. Man, how many times do we doubt God? Oh, can God do this? I don't know how I'm going to get through this situation in life. I don't know how I'm going to go through this time in this situation. But trusting God, wholly following him. Caleb believed God could do it. He was wholly following God with other believers. It was interesting. I heard a man's testimony this week. A number of years ago, he was going off into the military. He was in college and the draft was coming up, and so he figured, man, this is my time, I better just go. So while I've got a choice, and he went off to the Air Force, and he went to the recruiter and he said, man, I want to go, and I think it was flying a plane. And so they started going through this process, and there was a number of men that were in this pool to be taken from, but they all were weeded out in different tests that they were giving. And the first test, man, this guy passed with flying colors, and the next test he passed with flying colors, and then the next one he passed with flying colors. And the next one, the last one that they had, and a number of men had been weeded out, and there were only a few left, and you pass this final test and you're in, and it was a psychological test. And this guy had gone, and the man giving this test was opposed to God or any type of religion. But as he was giving this test to this guy, he asked, do you believe in the God of the Bible? Well, and he says, yes. So he goes through this, and he's going through, and he's asking him question after question. And then he looked at his fingernails, asked to see his fingernails. Like, what? He says, well, you don't bite your fingernails. You must really be committed to God. He's trying to get him to back out of this. Well, the sad reality was that, yes, he stood firm and wholly following the Lord and showed he trusted him and all of that. And going through this, the guy says, well, we have no place for you. And it was interesting, a commander said, hey, you can fight this, it wasn't done right. And the guy says, no, this is God's will. And it's interesting to see how God worked and led in his life. He ended up being in the police force in Los Angeles for years and wholly followed the Lord as God had put him in that aspect of life. But there was a past. He tried even as a young kid, and he stood up for the Bible and wholly followed the Lord. And you and me, as we go through life, we can wholly follow the Lord. There's got to be that past as we follow with other believers. One of the reasons we gather together, we worship together, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Opportunities to encourage and exhort each other to live for God on Monday, because Monday's coming. We can wholly follow God on Monday just as much as we can on Sunday morning. But there's a special aspect of having that with other believers, that relationship, to encourage and edify each other to wholly follow the Lord. Caleb did that with Joshua. He wholly followed the Lord with other believers in the past. But in the past, he also followed when he had to stand against the majority. We looked at that in Numbers 13, verses 25 through 30, in the last part of that chapter. He had to stand against the majority. Chapter 14, they stood up and said, you can trust God. And the congregation doubted. But they didn't believe. In fact, that conjunction there, that connecting word, but, into that next section. They didn't believe God. The congregation didn't wholly follow the Lord. And so one of the consequences was they didn't get to enter the promised land. God had promised them this land, and they said, no, you won't bring us through. You can't do it. Well, wait a second. When God promises an inheritance, he always comes through. When he promises eternal life for salvation, he always comes through. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's not just a might or a hope or a will. That is a confidence. There's nothing that can get in the way of that. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you can't lose your salvation. Aren't you thankful? There is no way. You can't take it away. You can't lose it. Jesus says, you're in my hand, in my Father's hands. And no man, nothing can pluck you out. Not even yourself. We can't jump out. Once you're saved, you're always saved. wholly follow the Lord. But it's not just that commitment in the past of salvation and that commitment as a teenager or a young adult to commit, I'm going to live for God. But as we continue on through life, number one, wholly following the Lord has a past. Number two, wholly following the Lord brings rewards. The word has in that was a state of being verb. Here we think about the word brings. Holy following the Lord brings rewards. The word brings is an action verb that's directed at you. And that's what Caleb is saying here. Remember what God has said? I have wholly followed the Lord, and there are rewards for that. Yes, there are temporal rewards. That doesn't mean we'll get rich. Wouldn't that be nice? That doesn't mean we'll have all the toys we always wanted. I'm going to wholly follow God so I can have everything I want. Now, that's not what it's about. In fact, God never promised that. There are many today who teach and preach that the health and wealth gospel, you wholly follow God, you'll be healthy and wealthy, and you'll have everything set. But as we look at the Word of God, that's not true. Person after person who's followed God, life wasn't always easy, but God was always faithful, and God always gave the strength to go through life. The Apostle Paul, he himself cried and asked the Lord three times to remove the thorn. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, Paul says later on, do all to the glory of God. Whether it's those physical trials or other trials we go through, we can do those while we wholly follow the Lord for God's glory. That's how God is often glorified. Through opportunities, whether it be with doctors and nurses or others that are dealing with issues in life, or maybe, man, you totaled your car and you didn't plan on that, but God's allowed that, and you can give Him glory by opportunities of witnessing to the car work. I mean, so many different things we can talk about. Holy following God doesn't mean that life is always easy, but I want to tell you, holy following God brings rewards. There is joy in this life. The difficulties that we go through, happiness depends on circumstances. I'm not happy. But we can have the joy from Jesus. The perspective, we think of even the old acrostic, joy, Jesus and others in you. I remember as a kid, I was in what they called Joy Club. And it was something like we do with our BLC kids. And we sang some songs and had Bible stories. I don't remember all we did, but I remember one thing. Jesus and others in you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. And thinking about that, the priority, Jesus and others in you, we think about that in our lives. There's joy, but Jesus must be first. We must wholly follow Him. And Caleb said, wholly following the Lord has a past, but it brings rewards, and that's what he's reminding Joshua here in Numbers chapter 14. He says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine what? Inheritance. There were rewards here on earth. Did it mean Caleb's life was easy for the last 45 years? He said it was 45 years since when he went to first spy out the land. That's a couple years. For some of us, that's more than our life. For some of you, that's not half of your life. And we see that reality that, man, that's a long time. Life wasn't always easy for Caleb. In fact, he talked about the battles he went through. But in those, he kept wholly following the Lord. And there were some rewards for that. The land that he had talked about, there was some inheritance. Moses swear on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. As who said? God. God promised him that he would go into the promised land. It didn't matter how long it would take. He trusted in the promise of God, just as he had trusted that God could bring them in and give them victory over the giants of the land. He trusted that God would carry him through, didn't matter how old he got, 85, kind of getting up there. God, is this going to happen? He knew it was going to happen because he wholly followed the Lord. He trusted God. It brings rewards. It was interesting. As you wholly follow the Lord and it brings reward, your leadership notices that you wholly follow the Lord. Yes, as pastor, it's exciting to watch those who wholly follow the Lord. Your Sunday school teacher notices as you wholly follow the Lord. Other leaders that God puts in your life, your parents notice as you wholly follow the Lord. And that's exciting. And as hard as it is sometimes, and these are hitting me in different ways as my kids are getting older, but knowing that someday my kids will leave me, man, that is what we're raising them for, to wholly follow the Lord as adults. And it excites our leadership. Our leadership notices. Moses noticed that Joshua and Caleb wholly followed the Lord. And he said, there are rewards for you. There are blessings. Maybe there's certain places of service in this opportunity. There was a certain place that there was great victory that needed. There were giants in the land. And who got to fight them? The 85-year-old who wholly followed the Lord. What a reward. Well, you get the biggest battle. But he was wholly following the Lord, and he was excited because God could do it. And as we wholly follow the Lord, we remember that our leadership notices. Maybe it's not all the time. Who notices if I'm following God? Who even cares? People notice. People look. Oh, that person's not wholly following the Lord anymore. What happened? Or, man, I want to live life like them because they wholly follow the Lord. When it comes to pain, I'm a big baby. I hate pain. But there are some people in my life that I've watched. And man, if I ever have pain like them, like they do. That's not in my own strength. And it's not going to just happen someday. It's got to start now as I wholly follow the Lord. As a consistent daily action. There are rewards, his leadership noticed. But more importantly, God notices. And that's what he's saying here. That Moses told him, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely thy feet whereon thou have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. God notices. You may say, no one even notices or cares. Pastor didn't notice what I did this last week. My Sunday school teacher, they didn't even acknowledge that. But God notices. And the whole mentality of what we do is about God, not us. It's not about someone patting us on the back to make us feel better. I was listening to a message this week about fasting and prayer and the reality of the Pharisees in the New Testament. Why did they fast? So that people could see them. And Jesus said, you have your reward. There you go, you got it. But the eternal reward, yes, there was some temporal reward here on earth that Moses allowed, that God through Moses gave him with inheritance. But there was eternal reward. Man, as we wholly follow God, it's not just home in heaven. Once you're saved, you're always saved, you're going to heaven. But Paul asks us in 1 Corinthians 3, what are you building on the foundation that's been laid of Jesus Christ? Are you building for just those temporal things? It's the life here and now. You've got your reward, and it'll all be burned up. You'll be saved. Aren't you thankful for that? But the reality of that, what am I building on that? Gold, precious stone, Christ. Holy following the Lord. That everything I do in life is filtered through the Word of God. Why do we go to church? Because people might think bad of me if I don't. Well, I've gone to church before because of that reason. Anybody else, or is it just me? Okay, good. Three of us in this room. Four of us. Okay. Whew. Someday you might be like that too. What do people think if I don't go? I mean, the reality is sometimes we do what we do based on what are other people going to think. Well, don't do it based on that reason. It's all about God. And we go to church because we want to wholly follow the Lord. And this is one of those things that he has told us is important. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching of his coming. We see that God knows. Harry Ironside's father died when he was a young boy, so he went to work at an early age to help support his family. Got a job with a shoe cobbler who was a devout Christian man. And man, Ironside's task was to pound the leather for the bottom of the shoes after they were soaked and cut into shape so that they would dry. It was a long and tedious task. A lot of work. There was another cobbler in town who skipped that step, using wet leather for the soles. Once Ironside asked him about it, and he pointed out that though the quality was less, it created return business because they needed repair on the soles. When Ironside suggested that, his boss rejected it. Not for financial reasons. Sure, it would have helped him financially. Other guys did it. But for spiritual ones, Ironside wrote, "Mr. McKay stopped his work and opened his Bible. Harry," he said, "I do not cobble shoes just for 4 bits and 6 bits that I get from my customers. I expect to see every shoe I have ever repaired in a big pile at the judgment seat of Christ." Now the reality is he wasn't going to see that, but he's realizing that everything he does must wholly be for the Lord. He said, "And I do not want the Lord to say to me in that day, 'Dan, this was a poor job. You did not do your best here.' I want him to be able to say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" Wholly following the Lord. God knows. It does bring blessings. Maybe others don't notice. Maybe it just seems too much work or too much commitment. But God knows. And God's rewards outweigh any sacrifice we call here on earth. Holy following the Lord has a past. Holy following the Lord brings reward. And holy following the Lord requires commitment. Requires commitment. The word brings from our previous one was an action verb that was done to you. Or is done to you. Here we see the word requires is an action verb that's done by you. We could talk about transitive and intransitive verbs, but how many of you don't want to do that? But we see the reality that, man, there is commitment that's required if I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. Tomorrow morning is Monday, the worst day of the work week. Oh, it's Monday again. Man, when I worked for McDonald's, my Monday morning, some of you remember I've shared this, my Monday mornings, I was in back cash. We opened at 5 o'clock and I'd be back there and I'd be greeting the first customer who was usually waiting there. I would ride my bike up into work and park it, and he's already sitting in drive-thru waiting for 5 o'clock to come around. And he's like, "Man, you love McDonald's that bad, I mean that much." And thinking through the realities of that. But there required commitment, one, for me to get there, but for me to have a good attitude through all that. "Good morning, what can I do?" You ever been to McDonald's and someone said something like that to you or some other fast food, right? I mean, if I'm going to be a good worker, there requires commitment. Holy following the Lord requires commitment. It didn't matter the time of the day. It didn't matter if it was Monday. Your Monday's coming soon. For some of you, that means you got to go back to work. Oh, it's Monday. Can't wait till Friday, right? But the reality is that work is not a curse. In fact, God gave work before the curse in Genesis. And even through our work, we must wholly follow the Lord. And that's what Caleb has done through his life. But he's reminded of that. Here in every age, he follows the Lord. Verse number 11. Verse 10, he talked about 45 years. Verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in that day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. There required commitment on his part as a young man, as a middle-aged man, as an older man. You may say, "Well, man, I'm already kind of set in life." Well, when he was 40 and he went out to spy the land, he was kind of set in life. He was already a leader among the people. He had committed to following God. He continued doing this through the battles. He committed doing this when everybody else in the congregation of Israel said, "No, we don't believe God can go. We don't believe God can give victory." But Caleb said, "God can do it. God can do anything, anything." He realized this, and he was committed to God, no matter what peer pressure he felt, No matter what difficulties he was about to go through, as the oldest man going off to fight these battles day in and day out through Joshua 1 through 12, he was wholly committed to following the Lord. As an 85-year-old man, he was wholly committed to following God up to this mountain to take it for God, in God's power. Now, not too many of you in here are 85. Some of you might be older than that. But your time's not done. Are you still wholly committing to follow God? He's got a plan for your life. Or you'd already be dead. As harsh as that sounds. Because when God is ready for us to go, there's nothing we can do to stop it. So since you're breathing this morning, God has a great plan for your life. Are you wholly following God? I hope so. If not, will you commit to God today? God, I want to follow you regardless of my age. That doesn't make a difference. Teenagers? Well, I'm just a teen yet. In our auditorium Sunday school class, we talked about a teen who wholly followed the Lord, and that was David, who God chose to be the second king of Israel. Will you wholly follow God without any excuses? Be committed when others aren't, the others that were around him. Timothy had to stand alone in 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. Others have stood alone in the past. But the reality, as Elijah was reminded, there are still some who have not bowed the knee. You're not alone. Look around. There's a lot of us in here. Many of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, I don't know your heart. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Today is the day of salvation. But for those of us in here who know Jesus Christ as Savior, can you only imagine what God could do if we all committed to wholly follow the Lord? What an incredible opportunity we have. The early apostles, it was said of them that they turned the world upside down through the power of Christ. Now, how many of the apostles were there? 12. There's a couple more than 12 in here. And if each of us wholly follow the Lord, what could God do in South Central Michigan? I'm convinced he's got great plans. I'm convinced God wants to do the impossible through us. But it's only God doing it. But it takes our commitment to wholly follow the Lord. Are you doing that? Are you following God in every aspect and area of life he's told you? Spending time in his word, growing in him as we've been talking about, growing together, our theme for this year? Are you spending time knowing him together as a church family and the services and the opportunities that we have to grow together? Let's wholly follow the Lord God, because God will be glorified. Father, we thank you for your love. Pray that you would help us to trust you and magnify you. God, would you help us to, this week, wholly follow you? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Maybe you'd say, Pastor Josh, I'm not saved. I know that. I can't wholly follow God because I have never trusted Jesus as Savior. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. But would you just show me with an uplifted hand, Pastor Josh, would you pray for me? I need to be saved. I'll pray for you. God wants to save you. God wants to make that difference in your life. Anybody at all, Pastor Josh, would you pray for me? I need to be saved. Maybe you're here and, man, you know you're saved, but you've just not been following the Lord wholly. You know there are some things God's challenged you with, maybe this morning, or some other things God's been working in your heart about, and you just need to commit this morning to wholly follow the Lord and those aspects of life. Anybody at all, just, Pastor Josh, would you pray for me? God has challenged me about wholly following him. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. I'll pray for you. Amen. Would you make that commitment to God right now? In a minute, we'll stand and you'll have an opportunity. You can commit that to God right there. Or you can come and kneel even up front and just commit to God. God, I need to wholly follow you. Would you help me? Father, we thank you for your love. God, you know each heart in here. If there's someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, I pray that today they'd get saved. But God, for those of us who do know You as Savior, You've challenged us. We need to wholly follow You. Some specifically, God has acknowledged that You've challenged them with a specific area of life. Would You help them as they commit this to You to wholly follow You? And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Joanne's playing. This is a time maybe you want to come and kneel and commit that to the Lord. Maybe right there in your seat, you want to commit that to the Lord. God, I will wholly follow You because Monday's coming. And it's a lot harder on Monday than it is on Sunday morning with everybody around. Oh, I've decided I'll follow Jesus wholly all the way through life. Would you do that with Him? What a Savior. Let's sing with our heads bowed. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.